2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is nice to have you waking up with us here for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio on this conference weekend and beautiful weather-wise for you to get out and enjoy just about anything, but we appreciate you taking us along. By the way, I'm going to be sticking around and hosting sort of a reunion of sorts for Tom Bettis and I. I'll be hosting at least an hour and a half of Greenhouse coming up at 8 o'clock and walking you right up to the first session of General Conference for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So look forward to that. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all be speaking at conference.
So. Will you really?
Yeah, but people tell him to shut up, man.
That's actually a good way to get people scared from listening later tonight. Or I don't know, maybe they'll tune in and wait for the train wreck.
Well, it's better than singing in the choir.
Yeah, well, that might be true, too. Although there's plenty of others in the background that could drown you out of that.
Yeah, so, that's true.
If you're the only one at the podium, I don't know how we would avoid that.
Shut my mic off.
What kind of a week have you had?
You
have to think about that.
Yeah, he can't remember. He's old.
A good week. Weekend was great. I was with the Patriot Guard in Fillmore. We have our little get-together once a year. And that was great. And I swung through Delta and saw my dad on the way home. And then I took the back road through Tooele. That's a nice drive.
Yeah.
Call you Back Roads Russ.
Back Roads Russ. That is a good name.
I like Quagga Russell better.
That's good, too. Navadopsis is also in studio with us this morning.
Mike, good morning.
Coming off a Ute win last week. I know that makes you happy.
Oh, yeah. I sleep better.
Even though you had to sit in the rain along with...
No, I like the rain.
45,000 of your closest
I'm
friends.
I'm absolutely serious. I like the rain. During the game, because it stopped raining, I go, I know. And she goes, you sound sad. I go, yeah, I like the rain. She goes, during the game... I think being a fan should be hard and tough. And she thinks I'm crazy. She's right, by the way, on everything.
Well, I think there's a certain, you know, you got the guys down there who have worked their tails off all week getting ready for the game. Don't wimp out just because it rains.
No,
they're
I know.
Down there in the rain.
Exactly.
Know?
And in the fourth quarter, people are tired. They're going to go home. Are you kidding me?
If they're out there giving their all, you might as well, as a fan, there giving what you got. Right.
I have never not stayed till the very end of the fight song, no matter what the score.
Well, your sons and I, Finn in particular, and I spent some really nasty nights out in that tailgate parking lot some years ago, holding down the fort while everybody else was enjoying a good seat in at the game. You remember those days, too.
Yes, I do.
All right. Anyway, congratulations to the Utes. Cougs took a little tough one on the road at Toledo and are licking their wounds this week with the loss of their quarterback, too.
Yes.
So, anyway, we're not here to talk football. Let's talk about outdoors. One of the things I want to cover today is this change of seasons. And we were mentioning last week the things we love about living in Utah in the fall. And I mentioned the change of the colors is one of my favorites. So we're going to run down, and you guys need to be thinking about this, too. We're going to run down some of the best drives to go see all these fall colors.
Oh, boy.
There are lots of them out there. But we'll give you maybe the top five.
I'm going today.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm going to leave the studio here, and I'm going to head up to Logan and go through Sardine. And I like looking up there towards Sherwood Hills. Yeah. Those trees are lovely.
That's spectacular.
That
canyon.
That stretch right through there is fantastic.
Yep.
But we'll talk about that. We're going to check in with a couple of your old buddies, too. Greg Paul's going to be checking. It's been
a while
since we've heard from him.
Yeah, he's headed out to I'm a Dumb Blonde. I think that's where he's headed to right now.
I don't think that's the name of it, but that's the best way we found to pronounce it.
That's what all the Sherpas know it as now.
I'm a Dumb Blonde. Which is one of the last times we talked to him anyway was the
Big Everest problem.
But I mean it's an adjacent mountain that they do their climatization on.
Right.
In preparation for their climb to Everest.
Right.
Is he just going to climb that, not necessarily go over to Everest?
He's not planning on climbing Everest, but I'm not sure the logistics of what trail goes where, if it goes through base camp or what, but I think it's just that mountain.
Okay.
We'll find out.
We'll look forward to that. And then one other call coming in, I think.
Yeah, Jeff in Florida.
Oh, an update.
He's going to give us
the wilds
update.
Of Florida.
Yeah, he's going to give us update on the damage of the last couple of hurricanes and how the fishing is as a result of it out there.
Yeah, so. I know when I was down there in Miami, there was a lot of talk about that and how those storms, even though they didn't hit Miami proper, still have an effect on the wildlife.
Absolutely.
You know, for a while after the fact.
They got a lot of issues down there.
Because it stirs up the ocean and changes their habitat for a little while down there. Also coming up, I'm guessing you guys saw this story this week because it caused a lot of stir in the outdoors world, and that is a shift in the policy for national parks to allow ATVs and UTVs in the national parks. Now, those that are ATV enthusiasts love this idea. Those that don't ride UTVs and ATVs hate this idea, and there isn't much in the middle of this discussion.
I can understand. I love ATVs, but I don't know what the push is to have them in the national parks. I don't understand that, and I've read some of the information on it, and I've yet to come across. Did you read it all, or have you talked about it?
Well, we talked about it during Utah's Morning News this past week, and the National Park Service itself announced this shift in policy, and I think the recommendation came because they said, look, we should be in line with the policy for riding ATVs and UTVs in other parts of Utah. These national parks are in Utah, so we should allow it. There needs to be some clarification, though, and to help us sort it out later this morning, Bob Grove will be joining us because he's very familiar with it. And when we talk about the overcrowding that goes on in our national parks, particularly someplace like Zion, where it's one road in, one road out.
How are you going to deal with that?
If you're allowing ATVs only on pavement, and you can only get one person at a time on the ATV, does that not just complicate an already complicated situation?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you hear this just on the surface, you start to worry about people that take their ATVs on trails that they shouldn't be on and all the kinds of mayhem that that can add.
We're going to have to get somebody in, Tim, because we're just going to speculate till the cows come home about this.
Bob's going to talk to us about it.
Okay.
And so we'll look forward to having that conversation with Bob because he knows some of the people that were behind the push for this to actually come about. So, but that is probably the story that's getting the most attention in the outdoors world this week. We're also going to talk fishing, not only with fish bites, and I'd like to concentrate on fish bites, Nami, with local fisheries, community ponds, because there was a story out a couple of days ago, and I just want to remind everybody on where to find all the stocking reports.
Right. Now's when they put them in.
Why did they do that?
Well, because those ponds are shallow, and with the temperatures we have during the summer, it can't support, like, trout, or it can't support a lot of the fish. It has to be a tolerant fish that can really cope with extreme heat.
But if they're shallow, won't they also totally freeze in the wintertime?
Well, they don't expect them to carry over. And by the way, they won't totally freeze. We don't have those kind of temps anymore in the winter. I mean, if it's 10 feet deep, you got to have below zero for 2 weeks to get that to freeze over. It ain't going to happen.
Okay.
But more importantly, the fish thrive this time of year. So,
we'll run down some of the stocking reports. Then Randy Opplinger will join us. And, you talk about going back to our conversation last week, the reasons we love living in Utah. October turns out maybe one of the best months to fish in Utah.
For sure.
We're not just talking about community fisheries.
The only thing better than October is November.
Yeah. And Randy is going to run down some suggestions on that. So we'll look forward to all of that coming up here in just a minute. Tell you what, let's take our break. When we come back, we'll have some news of the week, including another oops at Old Faithful in Yellowstone. Is it just me, or is this like a regular conversation around here?
You know, if it starts out, hold my beer, or Florida man, the only thing worse is at Old Faithful.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrible.
Self-inflicted wounds, again, for somebody up in Yellowstone country. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us. Be thinking about, though, where your favorite drives are. I can tell you, Becky and I are thinking this weekend about getting out on the mountain bikes and just heading up to Mueller Canyon, or Mueller Park, which is right there in Bountiful, close to home, because that little canyon draw once you get up halfway on your mountain bike is spectacular when the colors are changing.
Right.
And once this process has started, which it has, I've seen a lot of pictures from around the state, it does not last long.
No, I get it.
Usually the first couple of storms
head down
will
to Nebo.
Through. Nebo's another one.
Yeah, it's a great one.
So we'll talk about that coming up in just a minute. Don't go away.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim, Navi, Russ, all here. Looking forward to the next couple of hours. Let's talk about some news of the week. It was a few weeks ago we were talking about the 1,000th condor chick that was actually born in Zion National Park or hatched, and everybody was excited about that. Well, it's leaving the nest. And that causes even more excitement for people because you get your first good look at him. He's known as 1K, by the way.
1K. All right.
Because he is the 1,000th California.
That is a cool name.
Yeah, 1K.
Is it safe to assume they banded it and put a radio on it, a transmitter?
That's a good question. They may not have wanted to
mess with it,
when it was still in the nest. But
like fledglings have a hard enough time flying, but when you got a radio hanging from you.
You know, if they had music going or something, maybe it'd help. But that's not the 1,000th in the park. That's the 1,000th in the wild. Right?
Yeah. Not in the park. They said back on September 25th, the chick came out of the nest, wobbled and kind of stumbled out and kind of made its way down to another ledge close by and then took another little flight. To another ledge, and one spokesperson from the park says it's been staying on that ledge just a little bit lower than where the nest site would be.
He's hanging out.
Can't get back up.
Well, it's looking down that canyon wall going, I don't know if I want to try this.
Maybe that's the equivalent to his parents' basement.
Yeah, maybe. Mom and Dad will be kicking him out of the nest here coming up in just a little while. So that one's getting some news this week. I don't know if you saw the video, and unfortunately our big screen for you guys isn't functioning this week. The video of the elk in Estes Park in Colorado that went after somebody in the park.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Goodness.
They're thick in Estes Park, though. I've dodged them riding through on the bike.
That person just cowering when those horns are going rang, right?
Well, yeah, in the fetal position on the ground while this elk, this giant bull elk, is just ramming it. And finally, somebody came in and used their pickup truck. Drove it up on the sidewalk, which was smart thinking, to get between the elk and this poor person on the ground. I haven't heard anything about the injuries, but the warning, of course, is that this is rut time for elk, and they get a little weird.
Yeah.
And by the way, that may have had something to do with the bison incident out at Antelope Island, too.
Yeah, they talked to each other, you know.
Where a jogger was gored out there. Luckily, not a serious injury, but... wildlife officials are warning everybody when these big game are in the rut, they have one thing in mind.
Right.
And
it isn't you.
They don't want you interrupted.
Right.
Never mind.
like a teenage boy out there. So if you get a chance to see the video, you can Google it. We did put a link on our Facebook page if you want to look it up.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, Yellowstone is back in the news this week of a... Not a Florida guy. He's a...
Hold my beer. Watch this.
Yeah.
48-year-old U.S. citizen currently living in India suffered severe burns on significant portion of his body. He fell into the thermal water near the cone of Old Faithful Geyser. Now, there are several things he did wrong here.
Yeah.
First was
crossing over where it says...
Do not enter.
Right.
Wait a minute. It was at night. without a flashlight on the boardwalk out there. And my recollection is that that area is not lit. You can correct me.
I would doubt that it's lit.
No, I agree.
I can't think of any walkways.
They don't
that are
light
lit.
It because they don't want you out there.
Right.
But
I think drinking was involved.
Yeah. That's the third strike and you're out for this guy. They said that those on the scene suspect that alcohol was a factor. They found a beer can somewhere. Yeah. But, this is not funny stuff when you talk about what can happen to you in short order.
But he went back to his room.
He did?
They found him in his room. The article I
Who
read...
Who notified him?
I don't know. It was in the...
There's drinking involved because he had third-degree burns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most people with third-degree burns wouldn't make their way back to their hotel room.
I just don't know. Once you go in, how you get out of one of those. Maybe it was a shallow one. I don't know. But maybe they need to start putting ladders in them. You know?
Well, so there's so many. It's just...
Well, here it is. He said he told Rangers that he'd gone for a walk off the boardwalk without a flashlight, tripped into a hot spring. He got himself back to his hotel room. You're right about that. And then he called for assistance. Rangers detected evidence of alcohol use, you think?
They would have got any salve or anything?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
but the last report was they took him down to Idaho Falls. He's been admitted to the burn center there at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. Just bad stuff.
Yep.
But, I mean, three chances to get it right, and he got it all wrong.
Right.
So, anyway... There's a quick look at some of the news of the week, so we'll take another break for take another break for news on the half hour, and when we come back, Bob Grove will join us. We'll talk about one of the other stories that's really dominating the news this week, and that's the National Park Service itself recommending changes that would allow ATVs in national parks. Some people thrilled about that, some people really unhappy about that. So stay with us. That's coming up.